Public Works Commission. We got one clock that says past 6:31. It's not 6:30, but mine says 6:30, so we're starting at 6:30. When did we get a roll call?
Supervisor O'Day.
Here.
Stock.
Here.
Nordigan.
Present.
Supervisor Thomas.
Here.
Belsky.
Here.
Stocker. Kiro. Yig. Jake.
I'm here.
You're here. Okay.
Sorry.
You're good.
You're here. That's fine.
Okay.
Thank you, Wendy. All right, citizens' comments. Are any citizens else who'd like to comment? We'll give you 3 minutes. We just need your name and address for the record. Are there any citizens' comments?
My name is Greg Hunkel. I live on 195th Avenue in Bristol.
There's a button on there. If you press that button, there you go. Thank you.
This one?
Yeah.
I'm Greg Hunkel. I'm on 195th Avenue in Bristol. I'm a 4-H shooting sports leader for Kenosha County for air rifle, air pistol, 22 rifle, 22 pistol. We use this building for some of our educational stuff, and we actually bring our firearms in here for presentations and whatnot. So actually having the ability to do that is a great tool for me to have. There's also other stuff here because there's a projector, there's a screen. It's centrally located, and we do this for about 50 youth plus their parents and sometimes siblings. And mainly what we're trying to teach them is safety, marksmanship, and conservation. I've even got a gunsmith to be coming in sometime soon when I can get it scheduled to do a presentation on safety and maintenance of firearms. So, and now I'll speak as a taxpayer citizen of the county, no longer as a 4-H leader. A big supporter of the Second Amendment. I believe if you want to carry a firearm, you should be able to. And also, if you believe in the sign on the door is going to actually stop a violent person, I don't believe you actually have the mental capacity to hold public office. So, we don't ask you to take this position as a supervisor to put everything to a referendum. The way it worked before is the way it should work. You voted, you made it a policy, that's it. I don't believe you need to send it to a referendum. You just, that's not doing your job. You did it already. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Do I hit the button again?
Thank you. Yes, if you could. If not, well, thank you. Yeah. Are there any more citizens' comments? Any more citizens' comments? Okay, seeing more citizens, no more citizens' comments. We'll move on to approval of the minutes from the previous minute.
Motion to approve.
The motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second. Motion by Stock. Second by Belsky. Okay. Youth and governance. Vote on the minutes from last meeting.
Aye.
Aye.
Remaining, or the committee members?
Aye. Aye.
Motion passes. I don't have anything right now for any reports from the chairman. I think everything will be covered in the meeting. So are there any supervisors that have any reports? Now would be the time. Okay, silence speaks very loud there. Okay, first thing on the agenda is resolution to appeal the 2022 policy resolution 1. Motion. Discussion. Okay.
We're supposed to do something with this? I thought it was just communications.
No, it's a resolution.
No, it's a resolution.
Here's the word.
Chair, I'm going to ask why the individual that has brought this forward isn't here.
Very good question, Supervisor Belsky. I don't know if it's a work thing. I have no clue. This came out of left field as far as I'm concerned, and we're here to vote today or vote in May.
Not seeing a motion to approve, can we move on to number 2?
Yeah, so apparently this is going to die. There was no motion to move. So this resolution is hereby failed. Okay, our next order of business. Come in here, Kwame, you're going to be taken.
Yep, I'll take over for Clement.
Okay, thank you, Kwame. So it's a resolution to appoint Joseph Albatore to the Traffic Safety Commission. This is an executive appointment. I don't know if we have anybody from the executive's office. Okay, I'll read it out, part of it out. Pursuant to County Executive Appointment 2024-8, County Executive appointed Joseph Albatore to serve on the Kenosha County Traffic Safety Commission. And whereas the Public Works Facilities Committee has reviewed the request of the County Executive for confirmation of the appointment of the above name to serve on the Kenosha County Traffic Safety Commission, and has recommended the County Board approval of this appointment. Now, therefore, it be resolved that the Kenosha County Board of Supervisors confirms the appointment of Joseph Albatore to the Kenosha County Traffic Safety Commission. Inspector Albatore's appointment shall be effective immediately and continuing until the first day of February 2027, or until successor is appointed by the County Executive and confirmed by the County Board of Supervisors. Inspector Albatore will serve without pay, and he will be succeeding Deputy Chief Thomas Hensch. Are there any questions and motions?
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Stock, second by Supervisor Belsky. Any further discussion? All right. Seeing no discussion, how do we vote on youth and governance?
Aye.
And the remainder of the committee?
Aye.
Motion passes. Okay, so our first division report will be Kwame for the highways.
So I have no additional
Additional from the report.
Unless if there are any questions that I can answer.
Yeah, I was going to ask, are there any questions by the committee for Kwame for the highways? I noticed we do have work starting on Q for cutting trees and that.
Yep.
And then C will be shut down next week for a culvert.
So C is starting on the 29th.
Yep.
And that's going to go until February 2nd.
Okay.
And then the culvert on E is going to start on the 5th and go until the 13th.
Okay. Anybody else? No questions? Go ahead, Supervisor Stock.
Yeah, just one question. It says there's been no incidents. My understanding, we did have a county truck in an incident during plowing. Was that been fixed? Is it back on the road?
Say that again.
There was an incident with the county truck during the last snowstorm. Has that been?
I think Shelley, you're going to bring that up, or do you want Bobby to talk about that?
I can answer it now if you'd like.
Yeah, it's out of curiosity. Is it back in service?
We had one truck that was rear-ended. It hit our salt spreader. It is being fixed. It's not back on the road as of yet, but it should be very shortly once the car arrives.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Kwame.
Thank you.
All right, Jim, golf. I'm sure you've been very busy this past week.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Busier than I expected to be in winter as my first off-season as director. I've got no shortage of things to do, so.
Okay, so Jim has submitted the new golf proposal rates for 2024. Did everyone see those or have any questions? I know that the dates were changed. I don't know if some of that you want to talk about. And then the military veterans and first responders and the young executive changes. You want to just go over those a little bit and then yes. See if there's any questions for me?
Yes, sir. So the dates were just basically set up to start and finish with weekends. They're within a couple of days of the previous dates. We just kind of custom adjusted them to, you know, the summer rates will begin on a Saturday and end on a Sunday. So that's the only reason you see a date change there. Since we look at this every year anyway, we can sort of look at the calendar year and adjust those on a yearly basis. It's just a matter of punching in different dates. And then as far as the discount for military veterans and first responders, Shelley and Chris and I spoke today, and we feel it's going to be important to clearly define what a first responder is. And in our eyes, it's police, fire, EMS, and we'll set up a system for our staff to check on their documentation for that. I know most EMS have an ID tag that they wear on them, and then we actually have a member of our staff who's a racing firefighter out in Petrified Springs, so I'll talk with him about what they have, you know, what makes it easy for them to present it. It's just something nice we want to do for our those people that help our communities. And obviously most veterans have a military ID. So, and then the other change you see on there is the young executive age was changed from 35 to 39. And that's just something that we've seen across the industry that's common. Most clubs are offering a young executive membership, trying to target that under 40 crowd that doesn't play quite as much golf. You know, that's the ages where folks are busy with family. And so just trying to incentivize that demographic of golfer to utilize our facilities.
And then the 5.5% discount, is that common across the industry as well or in the area? Or is that just the number that you guys felt would be something that, it's like tax-free?
Correct, it's tax-free, and it makes it simple because a lot of the veterans that we'll see also qualify as a senior golfer. So to avoid having pages worth of fine print about which discount you could take advantage of, offering them the tax discount was just a nice gesture that we wanted to put in there. It's not something I've seen a lot, but it's something we felt strongly that we wanted to do something. I know it's not a lot, but it is something. Basically giving those people tax-free golf.
Great, thank you, Jim. Any other questions for Jim? Supervisor Scott.
Just curious, do we know how many golfers are you going to track that we have that are veterans, et cetera? Is that something that you can track for future?
We will be able to track it in our system. We're going to create a separate tag POS system for that to make it simple so that we can track it. You know, I look at what percentage of the population it is, and Mr. Walton ran a lot of scenarios for us based on that, on what it would cost us. And, you know, we're thinking maybe 3% of the population of golfers anyway is something that will utilize that, which totals up to $6,800 for the year. So based on our numbers, it's a very, very small percentage of the business we do. Just something that, you know, establishes some goodwill in our community, we think, on our end.
Yeah, that's a great idea. If you're able to, you know, if you track that, which it sounds like you guys are already going to do, maybe able to inform some future decisions if you want to do like a Veterans Day special or, you know, something like that, you can kind of see how many people we'd actually be able to use that for. My memory serves me correct. We made some significant changes to prices last year, at the beginning of last year's season.
Correct.
And from what I'm seeing from the report, we're up several dollars, $5? Was it six?
$3.
Well, it went from 9 to 12. Yeah, it's about a $3-4 increase in profit approximately. So obviously you guys are just wanting to keep those same prices. Did we see any drop-offs as far as the amount of the season packages that we sold this past year versus the previous year? Did that affect that at all?
Not really. Our total rounds ended up being 1,000 or two over last year.
Okay.
So, you know, it's been a really good 4-year run for the golf business in general. And if things continue, and as we're, I've got a list of competitors' prices, and we're kind of right there with everybody. We're a couple bucks higher than some of the other places that I feel strongly we provide a better product than, quite frankly. And our carts are equipped with GPS, so that certainly justifies a slightly higher cart fee. But we feel we're kind of right in line with where we want to be right now. One of our goals is to stay affordable for our community, right? We don't need to be Grand Geneva or Kohler or anything. We want to stay affordable and high quality for our community. And so we're doing well. They're getting high quality golf at a fair price, an affordable price. So we feel like right now we're still right where we need to be. If this trend continues and golf stays really good, you know, it's something we're obviously going to look at every year. we feel like, you know, we still hear a little bit about the change from a year ago. So we'll sort of let it settle in a little bit and then look at next year. If things are still really good, maybe we look at a very, very low percentage of an increase just to account for inflation or whatnot as our expenses continue to increase. But for now, we feel really good about where we're at and the product we're giving folks.
Yeah, maybe the discount will help with those prices, because that is applicable towards the annual pass.
Yes, that will apply toward any purchase they make in terms of golf fees.
Well, I mean, if rounds are up and profit is up, then obviously the numbers are working in our favor. So I don't see the need to increase them. So I think that's good. But I do like the how you guys are reporting this, the profits, estimated profits per round. That's a very helpful number for us. That's all.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you for doing such a great job of putting this all together. I would be interested in, or I would like to know if you would be interested in putting together like an informational poster to let our county residents know that these are self-funded golf, and just to let them know how many people, you know, work on the courses. How much do we spend on maintenance? How much, you know, some of the interesting information. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that would be good to help people understand, you know, how much it takes to maintain these. So when they do complain about the very low prices they're paying, they're getting a lot for their money. A lot of counties don't have courses like we have. So I think something informational would be nice. But thank you.
You're more than welcome. It's my pleasure.
Just make a motion. Go
ahead. Yeah, I'll make the motion to approve the rates.
Second.
For both rates.
Second. Okay. Any other discussion on the rates? Okay. Youth and Governance, how do you vote?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Okay. One thing I want to bring up, and I think Supervisor Thomas has left, but he's been kind of a push behind the first tee program. I know there's a little bit about it in our packet, but we're not looking at holding any of the first tee stuff. We want to keep that down at Muni, I believe, and support them from there in the hopes of obviously bringing up future golfers who will golf everywhere, including the county. But what kind of support do you see us helping out with first tee?
So the idea was to start it at Muni because that area of the community, I think, is where we can do the most. We can have the biggest impact and help the most. So the idea was to start it there. We are going to look at in the future as we see this develop, and our staff and myself go over there and volunteer. You know, we can certainly look at integrating some of what they're teaching into our current junior golf programs. But I think for now we've sort of set up a framework with them where we're going to help support Muni to get it off the ground. So they may need some range mats or some targets or some low flight golf balls, limited flight golf balls for the kids to get started. They do have a little corner of the property where the kids will be able to have a small practice range area. So basically just getting it established in southeastern Wisconsin. The first tee doesn't have anything down here. You have to go to Milwaukee essentially to get access to any first tee program. So you know, we're hoping that we're sort of taking the lead, but maybe some of these other local golf courses, that the first tee has been trying to get established in these areas for a long time. Okay. So we want to be sort of that gateway to help them grow in the area. You know, I would eventually like to. Bristol Oaks has a great driving range. I know the first tee has reached out to them, and you know, so hopefully we can be sort of that gateway into first tee building something in our area.
Very good. Okay. Any other questions for Jim about golf besides the rates that we worked on or just approved? Jim, do you have any other changes from your report?
No, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to make sure that the golf simulator summary that you received that we talked about last meeting. So after you know, going through that exercise. I feel overall we're pretty well right in line, and again, we're going to continue to watch that market, and if that market continues to rise in popularity, we'll certainly look down the road at adding two more at Cratchfying Springs and having two at each property. But right now, we're holding our own really well, and as you can see, the only one that really offers a lot more than us is X-Golf, and you know, it's important to remember that's their primary line of business. You know, our primary business is traditional outdoor golf, whereas theirs is simulator golf, indoor golf. So I think we're right where we need to be for now.
Okay. Any questions for Jim? All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Matt Storino, Division 4.
Oh, I say Matt now. We only have one Matt.
All right, Matt, any changes from your report?
Thank you, Supervisor. No, there's no changes in my report.
Do you have any questions for Matt on this report? Doing good?
Together kind of a highlight, and I also have the full report and the lab report that you could pass around, and I can send those by email if you'd like. But just to hit some of the highlights, the first page is the mural that's above the ceremonial courtroom on the west side, uphold the right, and all three of them were completely assessed. And as you can see by the color coding, the green areas were delaminated from the wall. The kind of purple lavender were actually where the paint had been lost or was torn. The canvas was torn. The blue is water damage, and the red is previous repairs that were tried. And you can see from this one, a lot of it was delaminated, especially towards the top, and that's really that's when it starts to come down, and that's where you're a little worried. So this was the worst one. You can see very little losses of paint. There's just a little area down here. We'll see in a coming up photo. Previous repairs, they kept trying to glue it in this corner. Actually, this one I don't think has any water damage. You'll see just a little on a further one. But really, it was the delamination. Here on the second page, this line right here, they had cleaned from this up, and that's where the cleaning, at that point we took the picture so you can see the difference. It was more dramatic in person than even in the photo, but they could smoke in that courtroom for up until, so 75 plus years they could smoke in there. So, and the dust and dirt, things like that. So this is actually the scaffolding they had up for the restoration, but the top is so delaminated. Normally you'd have small pockets, small areas that are delaminated, more like at the bottom here where you have these smaller areas. they actually would take an X-Acto knife, like between two colors, slit it, and then put a syringe in there, and then inject a special that's made for the plaster and for the canvas, and then smooth it out, and then just touch up that line. But so much of it was detached, you'd be slitting everywhere. It was actually more work for him, and this artist held to his price. He brought in somebody else and actually rolled the canvas down from the top and then cleaned it all, made sure the surfaces were good, the loose plaster, and then rolled it back up and it attached it really well. He did a really nice job. This actually, this next page, is this canvas that was rolled down. You can see the canvas in the bottom here, and you can see the spots of how much it was detached. So again, he cleaned all that, cleaned the canvas, cleaned that, prepped it, reattached it, rolled it back up. This photo here was thankfully one of the few areas where the paint had actually come off. The paint was overall in pretty good shape, so this one small area here. And along the edge, that had come loose, come off, and had lost the paint along the edge. So he actually touched this area up. The next photo, the next photo, this was on the mural on the opposite side, but you can see it was a similar condition where the edges were coming off and detaching, and they tried to glue them back, and you can see the edge where it lost the paint because it was detaching. This, you can turn it sideways, this is after we restored it. You see the edge all attached and then repainted, but the attachment and then bringing the paint back. And he also cleaned and the frame, painted the frame. So the next page is Prevent the Wrong. This is opposite ceremonial courtroom, the east side. Again, you can see this is the one we analyzed all three, took samples, and documented the conditions so that we could take this and then apply for more grants. But you can see the delamination up here also. So he said it's okay for the next year or so. You know, we'll apply for a grant. We'll see what we can get. But really, we don't want to let it go for, you know, 2 or 3 years. Some previous repairs. A little bit of water damage here. Just a little bit.
Do you know where that came from?
It can be just the humidity, and it's a starch-based adhesive, and that starch-based adhesive can actually absorb humidity, and that part of the hallways are not air-conditioned. It's the courtrooms that were put air-conditioned, so that can happen. We don't think it was anything from the ceiling, else we would have saw it up here further up, but really we're lucky as far as water damage, and it's not very visible. So we're lucky in that point. It's really the cleaning and the reattaching, and especially around the perimeter.
So what causes that to delaminate?
The starch, 100 years ago, they were limited on the adhesives they had, and it was a starch-based adhesive, and it wouldn't last 100 years. Okay. And with the humidity over time, it breaks down the starch. So it was the best they had at the time.
Right. No, that's our years.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the best they had at the time. We, you know, now with synthetics, we've got better ones.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just, it's normal to have it. These just even more so, probably because of the humidity over time. Here's some of the, we have these photos.
I don't think we can help.
Okay, I think I switched. Oh yeah, okay, that is the backside. So that was just some more damage of the one on the east where it was attaching, you know, the perimeters. Here, this one is in the staircase, going up the staircase. It was in memoriam. This, they were all well-regarded artists, but Dodge was really kind of the top of the craft. They designed this courthouse really to state capitals, standards. The same architect, and I think even the same construction crew, went on to do the South Dakota State Capitol. So they really wanted to build something that was, you know, a testament. But this mural is really, the artist was telling me, not only the artist, but his work. World War One, just the massive losses, you know, the machine guns and the tanks that were just brand new, and they were still doing, you know, running out of trenches, just trying to overcome the enemy being mowed down. But anyway, so the delamination, we've got more problems with, probably because it was closer, with the cigarette smoke and things, but overall, not too bad. It just needs some attention. This photo is actually just in the corner of that, where it shows he started. This was just a test cleaning he did, just to flush out what kind of solutions would work. And then I've got a copy up there of the complete report. And also the lab report, where they sent off the paint and the samples and to find out if there was a varnish, what kind of varnish, again, so that we can take this and apply for grants. There's not a ton of grants out there, but armed with this, it'll really help. Any questions on the mural side?
Any questions for Frank? This is pretty extensive work.
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah, we thankfully I was able to get this grant, and for years they've been looking at trying to fix them. Actually, in memoriam, in the staircase, you know, this is basically at ground level. Somebody took a knife, and I know it's yes. There's actually, you know, some knife somebody. So it's thankfully it's fixable. But since I got here, they're talking about it, and of course, and then I was able to get this grant and at least analyze these and fully restore the one.
Well, you got our building safe for our, so nothing that's happened in 2020 will be destroyed. Maybe we ought to put something in front of that mural as well.
Thank you. Yeah, those cuts predated 2020.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I can attest to that. As far as report, just the Brookside shingled roof replacement, that's on the report for the first time, but we're going out to bid. That's the original shingled roof, the original Brookside. It's 30 years old. It's not leaking, but it's the time it needs to be done. The Brookside backup generator, actually, we did a really good job on this. The existing generator, it was only code that they big backup life safety items, limited lighting, no air conditioning, the kitchen wasn't backed up, even the bathrooms in the residence rooms, the lights weren't on, that wasn't under life safety, you know, so they were going to, if it was down, they were going, especially at nighttime, going to the bathroom in the dark, which is not ideal for elderly people. This project was already started before I got involved, but when I got in it, I realized, and they asked for at least putting one AC unit so they could bring everybody like to the Southport room, the common room, and keep them cool, and then some things in the kitchen and that. And so they were already working on this, but when I analyzed it with my electrical background and saw cutting to go here and there, I pulled a electrical engineer aside, and I said, let's just pull the biggest draw for the building and see what that size will be. And because we didn't have to go to all these different boxes and saw cut here and there, we were actually able to get a generator that'll fully back up the building, but actually in the end save us close to $500,000. So every light, the kitchen, the elevators, everything will be just like the air conditioners, the whole place, all the computers, because the computers are, you know, they did back up the nurse's station. The computers used to be there, but now the computers are all mobile and stuff. So those will all be backed up. So that's really, it'll be a world-class setup for those people, and they won't be going to the bathroom in the dark if we lose power.
Okay,
will be well under our budget? Or?
It will be well under our budget because they estimated to do all this, you know, work all over the place. They estimated 1.7, and then because things have been coming in so much higher, we actually added 200,000. We actually got the bids in, and it came in. So we had 1.9 in the budget. We came in 1.26. But from the original budget, 1.9. It's 1.7. So, you know, roughly half a million. You know, if you put in the 1.9. Also, we're going to have a manual transfer switch, so if the generator doesn't start or has a problem or something, we can bring in a generator from Sunbelt, and we're going to have a manual transfer switch. And I'm working with the engineer, the manual transfer switch, it was complicated. It was only going to do the life safety stuff. I came up with a idea of using a bus system, and it looks like for less than $100,000, we'll be able to have the manual transfer switch back up the whole building too. So it'll be really, it's a world-class setup.
But the generator will be on an automatic transfer switch. You're just adding,
it will be automatic transfer switch.
Adding a manual.
We're adding a manual in case that generator, they're highly reliable, but if you get to 20 years, if a part is a week away, right, we can bring in that generator, and again, the whole facility will be backed up. Yeah. So, any questions?
Any questions? Brookside or anything else? It's on order. Do we have a date? I don't remember.
No, we don't. Once the bids came in so good, again, we were in this environment, we just didn't know. I had them go back, and we came up with the bus system that where the manual transfer switch would be able to back up the whole place. And so we sent that back out, and they'll have the price to us on the 27th. And then we'll put it all. It's a year lead time to get the generator.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what's the lead time? Okay.
And then we go, yeah, the, unfortunately, pandemic, it still hasn't gotten better. But it's highly, it's a very complicated, not complicated, but we want to make sure it's right so we have all the submittals to check all the boxes to make sure that they're ordering the right
stuff. Can we get the manual transfer switch in? And just in case between now and whenever the new generator is on, we'd be able to bring something in.
Let me double check on that. I don't think it's possible, but I'll tell you this. We have one technician that does all the maintenance for all of our generators. The guy's Cracker Jack from Cummings. I talked to him personally about that generator.
Can you explain Cracker Jack to these two?
You know what? You're right. I'm sorry. I'm right. It was a term they used to use that if somebody was really good at their job. Good. Yeah, Steve. I'm dating myself. So somebody that's really good at their job, he said it was the best running generator we got. So, but I will check on that, okay. See what we can do.
Anybody else?
Yep, that's it.
Thanks, Frankie.
Pardon? Oh, thank you.
All right. It's Shelley's time again.
Sure. I just have a couple highlights that I want to bring to your attention. Over the snowstorm, January 12th, we received a lot of
Hold on a second, Frankie.
Thanks.
Oh, wait a minute.
Otherwise,
Wayne's going to be like,
she's
up.
I thought he was talking loud enough. On the January 12th snowfall, we did get a lot of compliments. There were a few complaints that came in that we'll be analyzing over the season to see if there's issues that we can resolve in those problem zones, mostly from blowing and drifting snow we were seeing with the high winds. So that really kind of gave us some of the points in which we might want to look at additional aids for the blowing and drifting that we see. So we're keeping a list of those. We also are in the last phase of developing our next edition of the newsletter, so we're hoping by the end of January we can have out the second edition, which will be a facilities edition. So keep your eyes peeled for this month. We should be sending that link out. And we also did receive the South Branch 60% plans. Staff is reviewing those. Currently, we're not sure of the water quantity control yet. We're still looking into that. We did send a few questions back to the Army Corps. However, they are having turnover again. So we may have a new lead on this project in the next couple weeks, so we're hoping to get a response back from that, and as soon as we've completed our review, we will let the board know of our findings and where that stands as far as the water quantity. So with that, that's all I had for this.
Supervisor Belsky.
I was just wondering where we're at with the Kemper assessment.
I have received their draft report. I have a few questions and comments back with them. They set up a meeting with me next week to go through those. So, and then I'm going to meet with them on timeline for distribution and talking with the board and the stakeholders. So we're talking about that next week, so I'm hoping to have a little bit more of a time frame for everybody.
Great. Thank you.
Supervisor Stocker.
Could you tell me who's responsible to plow the East Frontage Road? Is that us or somebody else?
Let me look into the East. I know the West is ours. Let me check with the East. I believe it's a state jurisdiction, so it's likely ours, but I know that there's some agreements that are made with the city on sometimes they plow some of the roads that are county, because we'll do some switch swaps. So let me check on that one, but I'll get back to you.
There's several mailboxes down. What, can you tell me what the process is for people?
Sure. If they give us a call, we go through that process, and I think, Wendy, they fill out a form for us, and then they'll go out and evaluate it, whether it's something we can replace or repair.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, in the past, yeah, there's your 4x4 crossbar, and there's your mailbox. Have at it. Just like that's what it was in the past. My personal knowledge. I don't know if you can bring this up or not. We did have that incident, the tree cutting incident. If you got any more information on it, because I had several questions I asked specifically about safety and using our safety equipment and all that. But
we're still looking at the issues resolving that, and if we need additional safety training. We're still looking into that issue, but I can let you know more once we've kind of concluded what training an individual had and what training that we should still provide for those issues to not arise.
And just so everyone in the committee knows, they were cutting out trees, regular tree cutting people, and when a tree was cut, something came back up and got them in the mouth, in the front of the mouth, which tells me that there wasn't a face mask or only a partial face mask or whatever on or got knocked off or something. I don't know. But that's what I asked Shelly to look into is how can that happen if they are properly, if they're using the proper safety equipment and the proper safeguards. Accidents always happen, I understand that. That's why we want to look into it. There's even the numbers, even talk about near misses when nobody gets hurt and no damage is done to anyone, but there are still near misses, you know, and oh, geez, I almost got hit by the forklift, you know. So many of those near misses become an accident eventually. So we even want to see if we can start maintaining those types of accounts. Just, again, our people are valuable, and they're only valuable to us when they can be here and they can go home to their families at the end of the day with the same number of fingers and toes and teeth and arms and legs, and you know, it's up to us to do the best job we can to make that work, even if it slows them down a little bit. Where I work, we're constantly looking at safety, because people fall back. We all fall back. We have to keep pushing it. But it's safety always, not safety first. Safety always. And if there's anything about that, it's in this. There's so much out there that this county does that can be unsafe, that we really need to push safety 100% of the time. So, any other questions for Shelly? Go ahead, Shelly.
I do have one addition that as we were talking, I had spoke to Supervisor Nordegan regarding our PPEs. So a lot of the staff, at our last staff meeting, we actually talked about taking a look at what we have for our personal protective equipment and our safety plans associated with certain job duties. So over the next year, we're going to be looking at those very thoroughly as well. So some of the injuries that he had, like the one he had mentioned, has caused us to look at those a little bit closer. So I should have mentioned that as well in our discussion. But that's one thing we're looking at in the next year.
All right. Good. Okay. Any other matters?
topics that can be brought up appropriately to for the committee. But have I?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. Got a movement from Stock and second by Stock. Any discussion? I guess not.